I'm Roger Baker, Executive Director of the Stratfor Center for Applied Geopolitics at RAIN, a global center of excellence for geopolitical intelligence and analysis. Learn how you can put geopolitics to work for your organization at RAINnetwork.com.
Hello and welcome to RAIN's Essential Geopolitics podcast. My name is Emma Kami, and for today's episode, I'll be speaking with RAIN's cyber analyst, Ali Pluchinsky, about cyber-related threats that are popping up in anticipation of the U.S. election later this year. Hi, Ali. How are you?
It's great to be here, Emma.
Great to have you. To start us off, I was wondering if you could tell me what are some early cyber-related threats that we're seeing right now related to the election, and can you explain whether or not these are primarily driven by foreign or domestic actors?
Yeah, so it's obviously still early in the year, but I would definitely say we're already seeing the threat landscape start to sort of escalate in terms of threat activity. I think primarily right now what we're seeing the most of is sort of this escalation of disinformation. And I think we're seeing this both by foreign and domestic actors. I think maybe some listeners would be familiar with the robocall that thousands of New Hampshire voters got purporting to be President Biden, which turned out to be a deep fake audio clip, encouraging voters not to participate, and Democratic voters. And, you know, so this ended up being created by some domestic American citizen in Florida, I believe. We recently had a report showing that Chinese disinformation efforts have been escalating and targeting U.S. voters using AI to make images of recent disasters like the Maui forest fires and the Kentucky train derailment look more severe than they were, and connecting these incidents to the U.S. government. So these are some interesting activities on the information landscape that we're already seeing become elevated. We're also seeing an interesting rise in some activity by domestic violent extremists, including their activities in doxing business executives, doxing being the publication of their personal information without their consent to the public, usually to try and disparage that individual. And we've seen these activities specifically targeting individuals that are either donating or participating in mayoral elections or for other politically related reasons. So yeah, it's only April, but we'll definitely be seeing more of this as the weeks and months ahead unfold.
Wow. Yeah. So I guess, are there different types? Like, what are the different types of threat actors that will be active around the election and leading up to it based on like what we've already seen?
Yeah, so it's definitely important to differentiate between some of the threats. For instance, when we talk about state-sponsored campaigns coming from foreign adversaries, this campaign that I had just mentioned about China was specifically state-linked and state-sponsored, and we're also certain to see similar information activities by Russian state-sponsored groups. And of course, these will be the most well-funded and highly driven to create and sow discord among American populations. Also, when we talk about state-sponsored groups, these are the groups that would be most capable of engaging in more disruptive or destructive attacks, for example, against election infrastructure. And while we don't have a precedent for that necessarily in past elections, we've seen activity by Russia and China trying to infiltrate U.S. critical infrastructure networks. This was a very big deal with the recent Volt Typhoon campaign, which targeted large swaths of U.S. critical infrastructure, including intelligence, electric, and nuclear facilities in the United States and in U.S. territories abroad like Guam. So, you know, that's one area of threat. Iran is also a state-sponsored or a country where those state-sponsored groups will also be a threat and a concern, especially amid the ongoing war in Gaza, which is a good segue to sort of the second category of threat actors, which are these hacktivists, which will certainly not pose the same degree of threat as state-sponsored groups, but are definitely likely to be active, you know, for ideological or political reasons ranging from the war in Gaza to the war in Ukraine to other domestic social causes that will probably be more acute around the election, such as abortion causes and other domestic topics that are highly polarized. But again, these groups typically pose a much lower threat. They may deface some websites or conduct distributed denial of service attacks, which can make websites inaccessible for a few hours, but historically these groups haven't demonstrated the ability to cause more severe lasting damage to their targets. And then lastly, you know, we can talk about the cybercrime landscape, which has a tendency to try and exploit any big event going on. And as we've seen in past elections, we're very likely to see a slew of different kinds of election-related scams, you know, robocalls, everything else that's related to trying to trick voters into giving up sensitive or personal information. So I think a lot of social engineering attacks in the coming weeks and months will be election-oriented. And then finally, the ransomware landscape. I mean, we've had some conversations with experts in our network about how there may be an impetus for some ransomware groups to conduct attacks around the election for the prestige and disruption that they could cause to gain notoriety for their activities. But whether or not we'll actually see these groups go through with that and really target something high profile is yet to be seen.
And how do you think these threats could evolve or escalate in the months kind of leading up to the election?
Yeah, I mean, I think the obvious answer is that all of these threats will become more pronounced as the actual election day draws nearer. But I think if we want to talk about some current conditional activities that could drive a more heightened threat environment, I mean, I think we have to talk about the trajectory of the war in Gaza right now, the trajectory of the war in Ukraine. And as these activities unfold this spring, you know, where a Russian potential offensive is expected and where an Israeli, you know, invasion into the city of Rafah right now is imminent, these events and how they actually unfold in the coming weeks and months will have a very big connection to the threats that will be heightened around the election period. And I think you have to consider these countries' red lines of engagement, where for even countries that are more or less risk averse, like Russia and Iran, they've historically avoided conducting certain attacks even in cyberspace against the West, such as against critical infrastructure. But if we do see major losses in Ukraine, for example, of Russian soldiers or territory, or if this invasion of Rafah goes through, I think that these are concerns for a much more heightened threat landscape targeting U.S. election and critical infrastructure. And then beyond that, I think that we also have to be cognizant of how former President Trump's current criminal cases will evolve in the coming weeks. I know that he has his first trial for the first one set in, I think, less than a week, and these will be unfolding throughout critical election steps, and those are likely to fuel a lot of domestic partisanship and may be exploited by threat actors for a number of objectives, including the exploitation of financial information or something more severe like fueling protest activities and physical security threats.
Thanks, Ali. I'm sure we'll be following up with you as the election approaches and as the threat landscape evolves in conjunction with that.
Thanks so much for having me, Emma.
You can read more cyber insights from RAIN by subscribing to RAIN's Core Intelligence product. Our suite of products and solutions allow clients to access the insights and analyses they need to make more informed decisions. You can sign up or learn more at our website, rainnetwork.com. That's RAINE network.com. I'm Emma Kami. Thanks for listening.